So I invite you to close your outer eyes and open wide those inner spiritual eyes. And I invite each of us to see and sense and feel and know the divine presence, the power, the infinite life that is God, that is spirit, that is universal energy and unconditional love. This life force beats our heart, it breathes our breath. It is that essence that expresses through each one of us. We are made in the image and likeness of this essence, and therefore we are divine. And in this knowing, I speak my word for this service today. I speak my word to know that each of us are a blessing during this service, that every word that is spoken are words that come from the infinite, expressed through our dear Reverend David, expressed through each one of us. I know that every note of music and every word that is sung is a word of expression. It is a divine expression of the One. I know that this service today is our divine appointment, and it allows us to feel that wonderful centeredness that we feel when we are together. I'm deeply grateful for all of the goodness that is coming forth through this time together today. I'm grateful that there is only yes being spoken by that universal ear that hears every word I've spoken. And in this deep gratitude, I release these words into the divine action of the law that is love, that law that is joy, that law that is perfect. And I know it is done and complete. And we can all say together, and so it is.
This month, we're looking at our oneness, our common humanity, if you will. And as we recognize Black History Month, I also want to do something that recognizes the people who used to live on this land and still do live on this land, but whose land it was prior to becoming white people's land. And that's the people that are known as the Stachus tribe, which is the sort of large tribe that was occupying this whole area. And there's an acknowledgement that is oftentimes read at meetings, and I know Kathy has asked me to read it here every Sunday, and I'm not ready to read it every Sunday because to me it just falls in the background. But I think that as we look at who we are and our common humanity, it's important to recognize how deep those roots are of our common humanity with each other. So I wanted to read this statement, which is that we acknowledge that this land and this water is the traditional territory of the Stachus people. The Stachus people are the Squaxin Island tribe. The surrounding mountains, valleys, shorelines, and waterways are imbued with their presence. We seek to nurture our relationship with our Coast Salish neighbors and our shared responsibilities to this place, their homelands, and our homelands, where we mutually abide. So I simply want to acknowledge, as we walk through our lives, as we walk whatever land we're walking through, there have been people there before us with their challenges and victories, their heartaches and their loves and their passions and their whole lives. You know, we sometimes tend to forget. And in the West especially, our history is so, relatively speaking, recent. And I remember when I moved from Portland, where I grew up, to New England. And I had dinner one time at a restaurant that had been operating continuously since before the Revolutionary War. I think it's opened up in 1762 or 3. And then I think about Europe. I think it was during that period where was it Belfast, somewhere was celebrating their 1,000th anniversary as a city. And then, of course, there's Rome and Greece and the Mesopotamian Valley. And so we grow from all of this, and it infuses each of our lives. We're not isolated individuals just living here now. We are a product of all of this energy arising as us. We are just the current points of light, points of beingness, points of consciousness where we are now. We don't live in isolation. And so our talk today, I wanted to talk about understanding our interdependence. We love independence, right? I mean, we have a declaration of independence. Many of us have personal declarations of independence, even if we're not conscious of them. You know, I'm not going to get tied up with anybody or anything. Nobody can put a rope on me. And then, of course, some of us have our vows of codependence. I'm responsible for your happiness. And mine is irrelevant, by the way. But I want to look at our interdependence, which is a healthier way of being. To acknowledge that, yes, we are independent beings, and yet we are also intertwined with each other. Last week's talk was supposed to be recognizing our shared humanity. Our shared humanity. And these two, I believe, dovetail really nicely. We began the month by looking at our oneness. We looked at the idea that we are all one. That spirit manifests as multiplicity of forms, but there's a oneness that's behind it all. A oneness within all of us. Each snowflake, how many of you saw some snowflakes recently? Each snowflake is individual, right? There's no duplicate snowflakes. Do you know that? We have skeptics in the audience. But my science teacher in grade school, no, and much later than that, supposedly there are no identical snowflakes. Each snowflake is individual, yet each is one substance, which is water. Behind it all, they're all one substance. And water itself can show up as ice or snow, or what we call water, you know, just in its liquid form. It can show up as steam, or it can show up as a vapor or cloud, varying degrees of solidity and visibility. It can show up in all these different ways, and yet it is still one thing. John Donne, back in 1624, wrote a poem that said, "No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man, every woman, is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." We are each a part of a whole, expressions of a whole. And when I think of us as part, I don't even think of us as part, because we tend to think of parts from a mechanical point of view, right? You know, your car has a bunch of parts on it, right? But we're not a part in that way. We're a semi-permeable membrane involved with every other aspect of humanity and life itself on the planet. We're not just an isolated little part that we can be taken out and replaced. We are one with each other. Our intellect tends to focus on the differences. Focuses on and identifies the difference. Our heart, however, and our spirit recognizes our oneness. And both are important. Both are important. In balance. You know, this past week, I saw that Howard Schultz had made a comment, something about, when asked about racism, said, "I don't see color." And he was immediately blasted for that. Because we do see color. I remember I was at an awareness training for the Center for Spiritual Living Leaders a couple of years ago, where a very large African-American woman was standing up there, and she said, "If you don't see me as a big black American or African-American woman, then you're not seeing me." Because all of that is who she is. And we are all one. We are totally interconnected. And so to see the differences and yet to see and be aware of the oneness simultaneously is our joy, our passion, and our calling. Can I see each and every person? One of the dangers of New Thought, of our teaching, is that we tend to isolate, or can tend to isolate, from the rest of humanity. We get this idea that I and my thinking totally create my life. How many of you have heard that? Or something along those lines? Okay? If it is to be, it's up to me. There's a model called the Four Kingdoms of Consciousness. And this kind of thinking is what's known as the second kingdom of consciousness, also known as solo creation. I create by myself. Eventually, however, as we keep on evolving in consciousness, while it is important to learn how to work in that kingdom, we also become aware that there's more than just me creating my own life by myself. I like to always tell people, we don't create in a vacuum. Have you noticed? There's 7 billion people, all of us creating. Some of us are consciously creating. Well, none of us are really fully consciously creating. But some of us are more consciously creating. Some of us don't even know that we can consciously create. And so there's all sorts of stuff happening, all sorts of dynamics, and we run into each other. Have you noticed? Sometimes it's a pleasant running into each other. We just celebrated Valentine's Day, which is probably a pleasant running into each other for some people. For others of us, maybe we had an unpleasant running into each other or parting from each other. But we interact with each other. We are together. We are doing this dance of life together. We aren't creating in a vacuum. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Indra's net. And I think we have a slide still for that. Where we talked about what happens to one jewel on this net. Each jewel is a representative of a point of consciousness. A point of consciousness. And what happens to one jewel is reflected in all the others. Each jewel is unique, and each jewel is interconnected. And this is important for two reasons. Number one, as we improve our own consciousness, it resonates throughout this net. And this is what this kind of teaching is really good for, improving our own consciousness. Yes? Okay. As we work it, we shift. And as we shift individually, it's reflected throughout the whole net. No man is an island. Entire unto himself. The other reason that it's important is that each person is contained within us. And so their joys and our joys, their sorrows and our sorrows are all of ours. All of ours. See, a poem by John Donne goes on to say, if a clod be washed away from by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manner of thy friends or of thy own were. What he's saying by that, and he's writing this, by the way, in 1624, obviously, in Europe. If a clod, if a little piece of dirt is washed away, Europe is the less, as much as if a whole promontory, a whole chunk of land, as much as if your neighbor's wonderful man or house or your own was washed away, it's less. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. We are all interconnected. We are all interconnected. What this means is that there is no other. Take a breath. There is no other. Now, we all in this church usually know this, right? We've heard this idea before, yes? There's no other. And so we know it as an idea, we know it as words, we know it as a thought, but if we're going to create real change for ourselves and the world, we have to apply it. Paul says faith without works is dead. Ernest Holmes says that education without application is hallucination. We have to apply it. We have to really get there is no other. I got tested on this driving here today. There was a car right in front of me that had a personalized license plate. It had a big American flag on the personalized license plate, and it said the number 4 and then a name. Trump. That was the license plate. Not a bumper sticker, the license plate. And I had to take a breath, because that's a different opinion than I particularly have. Not right or wrong. And I got to say, okay, I'm going to go talk about kindness and practicing, you know, recognizing there is no other. And here it is, bang. What do I get to think about this person? And so I got to apply it right away. And I did. I started shifting my consciousness, my thinking. The Dalai Lama has said his religion is kindness. His religion is kindness. No dogma, no rules, just kindness. Heart, kindness. A religion, as he puts it, his religion is kindness. A religion isn't something we practice when it's convenient. You know? It's not a 5-minute meditation that we do on, you know, in the morning. Okay, I've done my spiritual practice, now I can go about my day. It's not we go to church on Sunday. What was the old Jethro Tull song? He's not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays. This is on the Aqualung album. That's not religion. It's how we live. Do we live kindness? Do we live recognizing that every single person we encounter is a jewel in the life of spirit, in the net of spirit? And so I want us to invite us to become more conscious of that kind of practice this week. And so I want to invite you to keep 2 logs, 2 journals, if you will. And what you're going to need is a couple of little notebooks to have with you, or a single little notebook to have with you. The first one is a complaint log. It's a record of all the complaints, judgments that you have about others. Take a breath. I was given this assignment, by the way, last September for a workshop I was going to in October. It was powerful. I encourage you to do it. Some of the complaints we might have is that person is so lazy and irresponsible. He or she is a lying, narcissistic jerk. All politicians, or substitute whatever word you want, name you want, category you want, are liars, crooks, thieves, whatever. All men are, all women are, etc., etc. Pay attention to your thoughts. All this is to help us to become more aware of what we're actually thinking. Don't judge yourself, by the way. Don't get out a big hammer and beat yourself up. This is just to pay attention, to notice what's running through my mind. Because if there truly is no other, and if we are all if connected and everything we put out comes back to us, if life and the world is a mirror, then whatever I'm putting out is coming back to me. Yes? And so we want to become more aware of what we're putting out, even secretly putting out. Amy posted a little thing on Facebook about some books that she read during the snow. I think they were hypothetical books. But one of them was Hypothetical Arguments I've Won in the Shower. Volume 1 of 16. I asked her to take the camera out of my shower. And so even in secret, you know, every spiritual master has said even what you think in secret shows up. Michael Beckwith says, if you want to know what you're thinking, look at your life. As we talk about the pollution in the world, we recognize that there's a pollution within us, within our own minds. That out there will never clear until we clear this in here. Take a breath. And we're finding out as we go along more and more how deep the pollution is, right? I just saw something recently that said the salmon caught in Puget Sound are all filled with feel-good drugs. That's why I like the salmon so much. No. How deep the pollution goes. How deep our own thoughts go. And so this is what this log is for, is to start to look at. And it's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's uncomfortable to look at how deep the pollution goes. It's uncomfortable to look at how deep our own thinking goes. And yet, we will not shift it until we become aware of it. The second log is a kindness log. Take a breath. And what this is one where you track where you've chosen kindness, where you might have chosen something else, like what I did this morning with the person in the car with the license plate that I saw. I wanted to have an immediate thought and judgment about that person. Instead, I went, that person is God too. That person is a jewel in the net of Indra too. And that person is perfectly entitled to their beliefs and their systems. Now, the thing is about this, I don't have to agree with them. But I do have to recognize that they're God in form, that they're a jewel in the net of Indra. So track the kindnesses where you've previously chosen unkindness. And what this is to build and strengthen the habit of practicing kindness, to play with that. At the end of this week, next Saturday, go back through your two logs and ask yourself how you feel when you view each one. Perhaps as you view your complaint log, you might notice that you have feelings of a high need to be right or superior to other people. I'm guilty of that one. But when we recognize that there is no other, who am I trying to be superior to? And who am I feeling inferior to? Perhaps as you view your kindness journal, you might feel more peaceful and loving. And the Native American question then is, which wolf do you want to feed? Which wolf do you want to feed? The one of greater kindness or the one of greater judgment? So this week is our spiritual practice. Keep the two logs. Make a note on your calendar for Saturday to review them for next Saturday. The second thing is, as you go through the week, notice the jewels. Recognize that every single person, animal, point of consciousness, point of existence that you meet is a jewel. The jewel in the infinite net. It's not always going to be easy, right? Yes? It's not going to be easy. Practice kindness anyway. Again, you don't have to agree or even approve of them. They don't have to be your best friends. You don't have to go have lunch with them. But you have to recognize that they are a jewel in the net of Indra. That they are a point of light in the light of spirit. They're a point of expression as God. Practice kindness in your thoughts and your words. Are you willing to play with those two practices this week? The two logs and seeing each person as a jewel? Yes. I'm going to close with a pair of quotes. The first one comes from Thomas Merton, who said, the whole idea of compassion is based on a keen awareness of the interdependence of all these living beings, which are all part of one another and all involved in one another. We are all part of one another. We are all involved in one another. There is no other. And finally, from Gandhi, interdependence is and ought to be as much the ideal of man as self-sufficiency. Man is a social being. And so as we learn to be self-sufficient, as we learn to think for ourselves, we also recognize that we do not do that in a vacuum, that we all are interconnected. And that as I polish my jewel, that's what's reflected in all the others. As I hide my jewel, as I desecrate my jewel, that also is reflected in all the others. And so I invite you to lift yourself up as high as you can in your own practice, and also to hold all the other jewels, including yourself, in kindness and love. Let's move into prayer for a moment. So I recognize that there is one presence. There's so many names we give that presence, but it's beyond all those names. It is this one existence, this one infinite oneness. It is love, it is wholeness, it is beauty, is life itself and more. This is all there is. This is all there is. And because it's all there is, each of us is one of it. And so we already are life. We already are this love. We already are this beauty. This is who we truly are. We forget it, but we truly are this. We truly are this. And so I speak my word that this week we practice love. We practice kindness towards ourselves and towards each other, recognizing that each is the other. And each that we call the other is us. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, he didn't mean like yourself. He meant as yourself, because you and your neighbor are one. There is no separation. As we lift the consciousness of love in this world by loving ourselves and by loving our neighbors, by loving each person that we encounter, by loving every jewel in the net of Indra. And so I speak my word that we do this week in a deeper, more powerful way than we ever have before, and that out of this comes such great good, such great expression of love. We no longer participate in the darkness. There's an old song that says, we'll study war no more. And so we don't study war. We don't study war with each other on any level anymore. We study kindness. We study love. We study harmony. We study wholeness. And so I'm grateful for the good that comes from this, because as we study that, as we put that into our consciousness, that is what expands, that is what grows. And so we say yes. I release this word into what we call the law, that process of spirit that moves it into form and expression that allows each of us to go beyond where we even think we could go, because we are more than we think we are. It allows us to be who we truly are. That the law moves us into this, all of us, this week, more fully than we can even believe. I declare it to be so. So it is.